Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, what's up, guys? Familiar sound, I hope. This is your host, Ryan Dorfman. I know it's been a while since I've done this, so I guess it's a welcome back party for me. And I just want to say we will have a guest or two coming onto the show to call in. I'm excited about that. So why don't we just get started? I'm going to text one of my guests right now, trying to get him onto the show as soon as possible. We've got, already. All right, we got two guests already coming onto the show. I'm pretty sure I know who one of them is. His name is Marquez de Villa. He's a good friend, old friend. I guess this is not his number. Never mind. All right. Well, anyway, we got two guests on the show, and let me introduce them both. All right. We got two guests on the show, and who do we got?
Marquez is here, boss man. Marquez is here.
What's up, man? What's going on? We got another guest, too. Who else we got?
We have Luch North from New Jersey.
What's up, man? I hope everyone's doing well. Marquez, how you doing, bro? How's it going?
Pretty good, man. Can't complain. It's almost the weekend.
Good to hear. Yes, it is almost the weekend, man. But we got some stuff to talk about today. Only got about 30 minutes to do it, so let's get started. Let's talk about, first of all, Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, man. What do you think of that contract? First of all, what are your initial thoughts?
I definitely think Rodgers is due for that money. I know he only has one Super Bowl to show for it, but you've heard analyst after analyst say he's the best quarterback that's not Tom Brady. He can make some throws that people dream of making, and just he's got all the packages and the tools and bells and whistles for a star quarterback in this league, and it's a shame that 24 teams passed on him in the 2005 draft.
Yeah, that is a shame. And Lou, what do you think? What were your thoughts when you saw he got that big money?
Well, I mean, the money is one thing, but I'm more worried about his health because, you know, after the broken collarbone fracture last year, you know, which kept him pretty much out for the season, you know, I think it's the wrong move because if he gets another injury like that again, I think that's going to be the end of his career. So he really just has to be careful on this. You know, I'm a little skeptic about this deal. I don't even think it'll last 4 years.
That's a good point. You know, Aaron Rodgers, this is a guy, you know, obviously he was hurt last year. He played in seven games. But the previous three seasons before that, you know, he played in 16, those three seasons, in 16, 15, and 14. He played in nine games in 2013. That was when he got hurt. But, you know, this is a guy who typically, I mean, he's a tough guy. So unless he's kind of knocked out for the year, he's shown an ability to kind of come out. Even when he's not feeling the best, he's banged up, he'll come out and he'll rep for his squad. And that's what I love about Aaron Rodgers. But Marquez, I'm not going to lie, dude. I'm not going to lie when I tell you that I think that Aaron Rodgers, I think he's better than Tom Brady. I'm not going to lie. I definitely think he's better than Tom Brady. I think that if he was on the Patriots, that the Patriots would have won just as many, if not more, Super Bowls with Aaron Rodgers than they would have won with Tom Brady.
I'm definitely a fan of Rodgers. I mean, he's similar to Brady in the sense that he's turned nothing into something with receivers. Thankful that he's got Jimmy Graham to throw to now, a big target, and then he's going to also have a few rookie receivers that it's looking forward to. But, yes, I never said he wasn't better than Tom. I just say analyst after analyst will say he's the best quarterback, not behind Tom Brady. I do think he's the best quarterback in our league. He's mobile, very accurate.
I agree.
He can make all the throws.
I agree. Now, here's the question, though. Would you give him 4 years? Do you think that's a four-year contract? Do you think that that's the right amount? Is it too much, or is it not enough, in your opinion, the length of the contract?
4 years is perfect because it gives an option for a fifth year. Four, as you just mentioned, he only had one season where he played seven games, but the other three he played just about 16. So it's a risk-reward there, and the Packers got it right, and Mike McCarthy will love to have him for 4 years.
I couldn't agree more. I think it's a great contract. You know, they could have easily given him 10 years and signed him for 10 years, and I think 4 years is great. The deal, of course, up to $180 million, richest deal in NFL history. But we've learned, as the salary cap continues to go up, it's projected to go up $10 million in the upcoming years. I mean, this is not going to last very long, and quarterbacks are going to continue to get paid much, much more than other positions. I read this tweet from Albert Breer. when Ndamukong Suh did his deal in Miami, he got 86% of the average per year of the top quarterback contract at the time. With Aaron Rodgers' new deal, the top non-QB, Von Miller, will be making 57% of what the top quarterback gets. That gap is now a gulf. Do you think quarterbacks are getting paid too much?
I definitely don't think they're getting paid too much. It's actually the hardest position in sports, speaking from experience. Played quarterback in high school, and it's just that's the furthest level I played. But these guys have not only have to manage their offense and cope with all these other problems on the offensive, but you're the captain, and you're also got to manage the defense. With the money that they're making, it's if you put it together, let's say to the NBA, it's only a small percent. Yes, there's more games, but the most important player on the field is the quarterback. That's how you score the points. That's how you start a play. They got to get the most money.
Right, but wouldn't you say that guys like Von Miller, J.J. Watt, you know, Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey, wouldn't you say that these guys are getting, I mean, at least I don't think they're getting a piece of the pie as big as they should be getting. I mean, 57% for guys that could come on a team and change the outcome of a game and change the franchise, I mean, I feel like they're just getting severely underpaid here.
You're not wrong, but I'm just referring to the question as do quarterbacks get too much? I don't think so.
Yeah.
As far as the other players, if the salary cap does go up, I think more people should get pieces of the pie like you alluded to earlier. I definitely think that defensive player stars of like Von Miller – or like a Tyrann Mathieu or a Josh Norman, they're getting around what they deserve, but a little bit more wouldn't hurt, and I'm pretty sure that would make them happier as well.
Yeah. Let's go back to this Rodgers-Brady dilemma debate we have. Do you think that another Super Bowl win for Aaron Rodgers would sort of settle that debate and have the public begin to place him above Brady, or I mean, what do you think it would take for Aaron Rodgers to kind of unseat Brady as the QB GOAT?
Well, if he wins one, that'll definitely help a lot. And there's some people that will say that Brady isn't the GOAT simply because of Spygate and Deflategate. So that's two championships right there with asterisk, arguably. And Aaron Rodgers won a championship with beaten team against Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers, so that's a huge accomplishment in itself. But I definitely think if he wins one more, he's already arguably the best quarterback in the league, but that'll cement him in the top two.
I agree. Like I said before, you know, I personally think that he's better than Brady already, but I definitely think that one more obviously would totally help his cause. But, I mean, he's the highest quarterback rating in QB history. You know, I mean, he leads the Packers to the playoffs every year, and the guy is just a flat-out animal. And I love Aaron Rodgers.
The dude's a stud out of Blinn College, like a JUCO. Like, he's once in a millennial type of player at the quarterback position.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. And talking about guys, like, I mean, here's the thing. Aaron Rodgers is what? He is 34 years old. He's turning 35 soon. All right. You know, if you look at his contract, you know, 4 years, that's going to end around when he's around 39, 40 years old. Brady's 41. Manning played till he was 39. Brett Favre played till he was 41. So you look at all these, the best quarterbacks that we've seen, and they're all playing into their late 30s, early 40s. So at this point, it's seeming like this contract is going to end in a great time for Rodgers, where we're going to have a very good idea how much he has left in the tank. So what I paused it, though, you know, obviously in Drew Brees, I mean, Drew Brees is another guy, and he is, I mean, this is going to be, he's 39. So you go 39, between 38 and 41, that's the key spot where it's like, you play till you're 41 as a quarterback. So, but I have to ask you something, because Ben Roethlisberger is another guy, I think he's like 37, and Eli Manning is like 37. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're going to be seeing a changing of the guard, too. And my question for you, and I know this has been debated a long time, but can we agree that Big Ben is a Hall of Famer? Would you agree with that?
Absolutely.
I definitely co-sign on that. I mean, regardless of the off-the-field antics, the man is also one of a kind. Randy Moss called him the greatest escape artist, and not to mention he's got the youngest Super Bowl-winning quarterback of all time. So.
Yeah, and people don't understand, that year, right, that year, the year he came into the league, the Steelers went 15-1 that year, all right? They had Tommy Maddox for three games. and then Roethlisberger came in and went 13-0 as the rookie 22-year-old quarterback, 13-0, okay? And they lost to Brady in, like, his first year, and it was a great game. Okay, and then he wins a Super Bowl in 2005 against Sean Alexander and Matt Hasselbeck and the Seahawks, who were a great team. And then he won another one against the Arizona Cardinals and Larry Fitzgerald, I mean, and Kurt Warner, and that was a great team. So, and, you know, I think he's a lock. Here's the question, though. He was drafted in the same year as Eli Manning, okay? And Philip Rivers, I believe, was also that year, okay? So,
yeah.
We're saying it can't be all three. I think Rivers is probably going to make it. I mean, so, Eli is one of the hardest, I would say. Would you agree he's probably the hardest guy to say, like, yes or no to for the Hall of Fame? Because you could easily make a case for him, but there's also a strong case against it.
Well, we're talking Hall of Fame here, so that includes postseason and regular season. He's more of a postseason quarterback in my eyes. Yes, he's defeating Tom Brady and the Patriots twice, but he's had some very, very bad regular seasons, and that's what people are going to look at. Those regular seasons are going to hurt because, as you just alluded to, Big Ben had a 15-1 season. Eli has never had anything close to that. So they're gonna definitely take a look into that. If it's about rings, he's automatically in their first ballot, but it's not all about that. You have to break it up and look at the minor details as well.
Yeah, you know, I think Eli is a guy where it's like, you know, he was never viewed as the best quarterback in the league. And that rubs people the wrong way. But then you have a guy like Frank Gore, who was also never viewed as the best running back in the league. But everyone thinks, oh, Frank Gore should be in the Hall. He's been consistent for so many years. But, I mean, and so it's just kind of a double standard there where you have one guy who's never been viewed as the best, so he'll make it, and Eli. But I think the difference is there, as you were saying, is that Frank Gore was always consistent, and that's why he's had his ups and downs. When they've been bad, it's been bad, and when it's been great, it's been great. But it's kind of hard to overlook that bad. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, you're definitely hitting the hammer right on the nail. As you said before, every QB has its ups and its downs. Every great QB has a good season and a bad season to its arsenal. But, you know, Eli, like you said, it's a tricky one. Just because his last name is Manning doesn't mean he automatically gets to go to the Hall of Fame. But he does have two Super Bowl rings to his credential, and those two happen to be against arguably the greatest quarterback of all time in Tom Brady. So that's, like, really hard to not take into account.
I agree. Let's move on. Let's talk about a big trade that went down yesterday. How big, we don't really know yet, but Teddy Bridgewater is headed to New Orleans for a third-round pick. The Jets traded away Bridgewater, making Sam Darnold the de facto quarterback in New York, the youngest starting quarterback in the NFL since 1970 to start an NFL game. So we can get into that in a little bit. But is this a good trade or a bad trade for New York? What do you think?
Oh, I love the trade for New York. First of all, it takes the pressure off of Sam Darnold to not look over the back of his shoulder. He knows he's got the keys to the car, and that's very good for Bowles and that organization. Secondly, for Teddy Bridgewater, I really like him. I wanted him to succeed. He was great at Louisville. Injury has kept him out of the game for the last two seasons, and he's lucky to even be playing again after his doctor said that he won't be able to play. But we were talking about ages with quarterbacks. Drew Brees doesn't have that much long. Teddy Bridgewater, a lot younger. And I really do like the fit in New Orleans with him. I mean, you got to think the last time they had a quarterback of his stature was Aaron Brooks back in 2002. Similar playing style.
Yeah.
Likes to run out of the pocket and throw the long ball. So it's going to be interesting to see, and I'm pulling for Teddy.
Would you be concerned if you were Drew Brees right now, having Teddy Bridgewater on the roster? I mean, would you feel slighted in some way that they decided to bring in a quarterback on the roster?
Definitely not, just because of the money that he's receiving, and just time and time again, Drew Brees has proved himself over and over that he's the commander in chief over there in the Saints organization. And like I said, all good things must come to an end. So right when the sun has risen for Brees, then after that, everything will be good, and Bridgewater will take the keys and go at the franchise, I think.
Yeah, you know what? I definitely think that this obviously makes a favorable quarterback situation in New Orleans. Now they have two good quarterbacks.
So, I'm on a call right now.
Guys, that can start a quarterback, and two guys that can start running back.
So they really like having depth. I really like the depth of New Orleans, and obviously now that makes Bridgewater one of the best backups in the league, along with guys like your Nick Foles. And so I definitely think it's a good move for New Orleans. For the Jets, obviously getting that third round pick. But when it comes to third rounders, I'm looking at some numbers here, and less than half of all first rounders, no matter what position, less than half become starters. All right. And the biggest percentage for starters in the third round would be an offensive lineman. So I guess we'll have to see. It doesn't seem like they're going to be drafting a power position like a wideout or running back or quarterback in the third round that's going to start, although they could. So it's not really going to be a power position move for the Jets. But I do like the move getting Sam Darnold, obviously having that confidence that the keys are in his hands. However, he doesn't really have too many weapons in New York. And I'm kind of worried that, for him. He's not going to have guys to throw to that are very dependent. I mean, Robbie Anderson's okay. DeVarian Dickens, he's all right. He doesn't really have any star players playing alongside him. So he'll have to do a little bit of that LeBron, make my teammates better type of deal. So we'll see what happens there, but I definitely think it's a good move. Let me ask you this, Marquez. College football starting. Are you excited?
Oh, my goodness. I'm very excited. Game week. I'll be at a wedding on Saturday, but I'll have my phone on me and my iPad on me just in case to see some scores and that.
Absolutely, man.
Best time
I'm
of the year.
Pumped. I'm looking forward to it as well, Arizona State, their new quarterback, that's my alma mater, their new head coach, Herm Edwards, obviously speaking of the Jets, a former Jets coach. I've heard a lot of rumblings about what's going on over there. He's very unique coaching style, and it's either going to go really well or not going to go well at all. But who are some teams that you kind of have your eye on that people might be sleeping on a little bit?
I mean, I'm just really, really I'm not the biggest fan, but I just want to see what the dilemma is with the quarterback duo situation at Bama, see if they give it to Tua or Jalen Hurts, because either one has said that they will transfer if they don't start, and I just want to see how that plays out.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, speaking of Bama, in the same family tree there, also – I want to see what FAU is looking like with Lane Kiffin, because they're projected to win 11 to 12 games this year in Conference USA.
Yeah, well, don't expect the first game to be a win, because that's going to be a major blowout.
Yeah.
Oklahoma, that's got blood written all over it. Sorry.
Who's Oklahoma playing Alabama the first game of the season?
Yeah.
No, Alabama's playing Louisville. Who's playing Oklahoma the first game of the year? FAU?
I believe
is that you playing Oklahoma the first game of the year?
Yes.
Who do you think is going to win that game?
Oh, Oklahoma,
yeah,
hands
it's
down.
It's on Saturday at 1 o'clock, or 12 o'clock.
Yeah, 12. That definitely be, I really like Kyler Murray. I think he's great. And I hope he chooses to go to the NFL instead of the majors in baseball. But that's another story to begin with. But let me tell you this. Alabama, I know you're talking about the quarterback controversy they have there, and it reminds me of the quarterback controversy that was going on at Ohio State a couple of years ago. They had, I think it was Cardale, or it was J.T. Barrett, both of them, Braxton Miller, I think. J.T. Barrett, Braxton Miller, who was the third guy? Was it Cardale Jones?
Cardale Jones. Yeah, it was Cardale Jones.
Okay. And Cardale Jones is the guy that came in at the end of the year. He obviously J.T. Barrett got hurt at the end of the season, and Cardale Jones came in and beat Alabama, and I think he beat Wisconsin, I believe. Alabama, Wisconsin, there was another team. I think Oregon, it might have been Oregon as well. I think he beat the three Heisman finalists. He beat all three teams back-to-back, and people were saying,
I forget Michigan. He forgot Michigan as well.
They assumed that he would be the starting quarterback, but they went with the incumbent, which is J.T. Barrett, who was hurt. I feel like you might see a similar situation here where Tua, who is kind of like the star of the cultural playoff, like Cardale was, will kind of get the back seat. he'll kind of get that back seat, and Jalen Hurts will start. I do think, though, that they're going to go with a two-quarterback committee to start the year. What do you think?
Bourbon chicken. That'll be all.
What are you thinking for the who's going to start?
Are you talking? I would say, we're referring to Alabama, right?
Yeah. Who do you think is going to start?
Well, when you talked about Ohio State, it brought up some thoughts in my mind as if they were debating if Cardale Jones or JT Barrett should get the start, it automatically goes to the person who has the job before an injury. Injury does not make it. And I definitely think it's going to be Jalen Hurts because he carried the team there. And then to his defense, he had a great championship game. But at the same time, Georgia did not have any film on him or anything. So it was kind of like reminding me of how Jeremy Lin had success in the league for that little period of time before people started figuring him out.
Right. I do think that – I mean, look, Jeremy Lin's a good player. I think Tua is like – Tua is a good player, and he's a very good player. In fact, I think he's kind of like Mariota. So, I mean, I kind of understand what you're saying. I definitely think they're going to go with a two-quarterback committee. We just start. But would you be surprised if Bama starts to kind of not play up to the standards that Nick Saban wants them to play? Would you be surprised to see him have a short leash on Jalen and put Tua in the game?
I would definitely be wouldn't be surprised because the game is evolving and there's new aspects that go into college football day in and day out. And this is a problem that Alabama has never had before. They've always had their clear front runner quarterback at all times. He may have gotten forgotten at some point, but that's only because of the stars that he's had around him and all of that good jazz. But I could definitely see Alabama going to the two quarterback system for the first couple games. After that, they should be able to find a starter. But for now, they're definitely going to have to see who's going to tug it out and then who they're going to lose. But it's just it's going to be – that's one of the best things about college football, to see a battle go on just like that.
I agree. It's very interesting to watch that take place. But let's kind of switch gears a little bit and talk about Ohio State for a second. Obviously, we all know the news. Urban Meyer out for the first three games. Let me ask you something because it's really pissing me off, all right? Why is everyone freaking out about Urban Meyer missing three games when they're playing Oregon State the first game, which is going to be a blowout at home? Rutgers also at home the second game. Then they play TCU in the third game. So, is there something I'm missing here, or is there a reason everyone is freaking out and crying that Urban Meyer is missing three games when two of them are going to be blowouts at home?
It's a harsh penalty, and in the sense, the way he handled the reaction, he thinks he shouldn't have gotten suspended in the first place. Let me remind you, the last time someone got suspended. Yeah, someone got suspended when they did not say something about a investigation that was going on. Joe Paterno, they suspended him. They vacated his wins. They hit him hard with the penalty, and he didn't say something. He didn't do anything, but his biggest thing is that he did not do anything, and that's what it reminds me of. And I don't really like Urban Meyer to begin with. I think he's a fraud, and I don't care that he's suspended for three games. I just think he should have been suspended for longer.
Okay. Lou, what do you think?
Well, whatever happened to the old saying, if you see something, say something, or know something, you know, and that's what they failed to do. I think there's something more going on this than we know.
It's a tough situation that I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy. And, you know, I think that, the NCAA, like, the Ohio State Committee Board, you know, they decided to spend him for three games. All right, we move on now. But, I mean, everyone's crying about, three games, you know, that's too much. How are we going to survive without him? They're going to blow out their first two opponents playing TCU, and I don't think it's a very close game either. But I want to tell you, I want to talk about quickly, there's only about 5 minutes left, some dark horse teams that I'm really having my eye on when it comes to the college football playoffs this year. And one of them, as crazy as this is to believe, Penn State might make the playoffs this year without Saquon Barkley. They might be an even better team this year without Saquon Barkley. How insane is that?
It's not insane at all. talking about experience, I mentioned earlier in the show that I played quarterback in high school. I had the not pleasure of playing against their quarterback, Trace McSorley, from Briarwoods High School. Man took him to 3 state championships. He's been a winner ever since he was just a little kid, and I'm pulling for him big time. He's got the keys to the car over there. James Franklin, he said he was like a dad to him, so they're all in sync there. People forget about how great he was because they had Saquon Barkley, but he's a star. He's also on the Heisman watch. He's someone to look out for.
I think that this year there are more teams that can really make some noise and get that playoff spot, because I think Alabama and Clemson are definitely going to make it, and probably Georgia, and then I think it's going to be a dogfight between – I mean, the Big Ten's insane, by the way, this year. You got Wisconsin, Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan State, Michigan. I mean, any of these teams could easily be the 4th team, and I wouldn't hope not. You know, and then you have Miami at the camp, and then you have Auburn. You got, Stanford with Bryce Love. You got FSU with DeAndre Francois coming back. I mean, UCLA and Chip Kelly. I mean, God knows what's going to happen this year. I think there's a lot more talent and a lot more possibilities for that 4th team. I think it's going to be a dogfight. I think this is going to be one of the hardest years for the committee because it's going to be it's going to come down to do we want to take a 1-loss team? Do we want to take was defeated? I mean, what do you think? I mean, do you think that you should have been in the championship game last year?
Who?
Do you think that UCF should have been in the college football playoff last year?
So let's put this straight. With the current situation that they're in and the way the rankings were, if I said they would have to go, I would also have to say it would only be fair if I said if Marshall beat Western Kentucky in 2015, they could go as well because they also went undefeated. So at the same time, I don't think that they would have been able to do that, but at the same time, they had an impressive feat and going undefeated the whole college season. Very hard to do, no matter the conference.
And I think that's what makes it so hard for the committee to do because you have a team that they don't lose a game, and it's like, well, how do we not put them in? But then at the same time, they're obviously worried about them getting smoked in the college football playoffs, and then everyone's saying, how could you put them in? So it's a tough situation. It's a very tough situation for the committee to have to place teams like that. I remember when Marshall was playing a couple years ago when Cato was the quarterback and they lost to Western Kentucky, there was talk about them being like, I think that was one of the, was that before or after the playoff? That might have been the first year.
It was the first year. Here's a better example. Before the playoff, Notre Dame goes undefeated, goes to the championship and loses 34-0 against Alabama.
Yeah.
And they went undefeated in the independent conference.
Yeah. But then they were – I mean, granted, they were a good team. They had, you know, Tyler Eifert was on the squad, I think, and they had the guy that Manti Te'o.
Burn it.
And it was an all right squad. Obviously, they weren't championship material. But what I'm trying to say is that it's very hard for the committee. I think they get a lot of slack for their decisions, and it's a choice that I'm lucky I wouldn't have to make. But I think this year they're going to have their hands full because there's a lot of teams with a lot of talent out there, and it's going to be tough for the committee to make those decisions. And people are talking about 2 lost teams being put in this year. I mean, Lord knows it's going to happen. The only two I have ever, at least the last one, was LSU in like 2009 with Matt Flynn, which was a pretty bad team. So, if you look at the facts here, it's going to be a great college football season. The NFL starts in 6 days. I'm looking forward to seeing it. Really quick, we've got about a minute left. Who is the Super Bowl pick? Marquez.
This is a wild card, but you guys are never think. I'm not even a fan of them, but watch out for the Los Angeles Rams.
The Rams? And
yep.
Okay. And who do you think will be their counterpart from the AFC?
The Pittsburgh Steelers.
The Steelers? Right, I'm going to go in a different route. I'm going to say it's going to be the New Orleans Saints taking on the Steelers. I think it would be Pittsburgh versus New Orleans, and it would be a terrific game, Breeze versus Big Ben.
I like that.
I think it's time for the Steelers to do something. I think Brady's on the decline. And I think the Saints are just too good. And I think that, you know, with the healthy squad,
you know, they're going to make it. But, guys, thank you both for coming on the show. I appreciate it. That's all the time we have for today. Tell them how to reach you on Twitter, man.
Sounds good, boss. Talk to you later.
All right.
All right, thank
you. Sounds good, guys. Thank you very much. That is the end of our show. I appreciate it. And catch us tomorrow or whenever next time I'm on. Thank you.